Yes, welcome to Eagle FM. And if you're just joining us, good morning. Good morning to you wherever you find yourself. It could be in the land of the brave, anywhere in the land of the brave, or you could be actually finding yourself outside of the land of the brave, and you are listening to Eagle FM. And how are you listening to Eagle FM? It's through the Eagle FM mobile app. So, and that's why we always said, download that Eagle FM app, because wherever you find yourself, you will be connected to Eagle FM anywhere, anytime. So good morning and welcome to your number one talk radio station right here in coming to you live, actually this time from the Ondangwa studio. So we moved away from, you know, the capital. So we are now in the great region of Oshana, the great mighty of Oshana region. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, the trends, and the numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear. Well, sometimes little witty and always, always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take of what people are saying out there. So the views shared during this our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation. So you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get into the heart of the stories. So that's what we do here. So it's the 7th of October. It's the 7th of October and the year is 2025. So as usual, we're looking at what are the significant events that happen in the course of history on this day. So our first segment is what happened on the 7th of October on this day in Africa. So October 7, 1931, in a quiet gold mining town of Klerksdorp, that was Transvaal, South Africa, a boy named Desmond Pilo Tutu was actually born. From a modest beginning, his father, a school headmaster, and his mother, a domestic worker. So Tutu would grow into one of the most powerful moral voice against apartheid, and his life would become a testament, as they said, testament of faith, justice, and a reconciliation. Today is Desmond Pilo Tutu birthday. So then came October 7, 1960, a momentous day for Nigeria, a few days after gaining independence from British colonial rule. Nigeria was formally admitted to the United Nations as its 99th member. Now, the same day, that same day, the United Security Council adopted Resolution 160 to recommend that membership, and the General Assembly followed through. Now, Nigeria was stepping into the international stage, not only as a newly sovereign nation, but as part of the global community of nations. And coming back home on October 7, 2007, the descendant of Lotta van Trotta, the descendant, not Lotta van Trotta himself, because that was long gone dead in 18 something. So descendant of Lotta van Trotta, who had the Lotta van Trotta is the one who have ordered the Herero genocide in what is now Namibia, issued an apology to six chiefs of Herero royal houses. So Van Trotter's action in 1904 led to the death of tens of thousands of Herero people and Namas, making it the first genocide of the 20th century. Now, this is not really, it's not really what happened in Africa, but it's this is something that is, spoken quite often in the news and whatever, October 7, you hear that many, many, many times. October 7, 2023, that was the beginning of the Gaza war. We're bringing it in here just for information's sake. So October 7, because this is something popular that every day you probably hear that, October 7th. So the October 7, 2023, the beginning of the Gaza war, Hamas and other Palestinian jihadist groups launched a large-scale attack on the southern Israel, which included killing 1,200 people and taking approximately 250 captives. Now, the conflict has gone on for almost 2 years, and the conflict resulted in a major humanitarian crisis in Gaza with large number of casualties and widespread displacement. So, today, October 7, 2023, was the beginning of the Gaza war that we are witnessing almost on a daily basis. Well, yeah, that's all what we have. That's what we have in this segment on this day in Africa. And today is Tuesday. And who are you choosing? Who are you choosing today? And this is our thought for the day today. If you have money at your disposal, every dog and goat will claim to be related to you. If you have money at your disposal, every dog and goat will claim to be related to you. That's an interesting one. So the proverb means that when a person has wealth, many people, even those who are not truly connected, will try to associate with them or act like they have a relationship with them. So it reflects the idea that money attracts attention and false friendship. So as people often seek to benefit from someone's financial resources, without genuine loyalty or maybe connections. Now, in other words, wealth can bring superficial relationship and optimism rather than actually true friendship or family ties. Now, this proverb highlights the social reality about how money can influence relationship and people's behavior toward those who have the moolah. All right? If you have money at your disposal, every dog and goat will claim to be related to you. So that's our thought for the day, and hopefully that would help in the way you make decision and choices today, so that, it's not just based on, attracting attention and false friendship, but really those that, want you for you. All right. So that's our thought for the day. If you have money at your disposal, every dog and goat will claim to be related to you. All right. A very good morning. It's 11 minutes past the hour of 8. We will be here from Ondangwa from 8 from this time until 10 o'clock when we cross back to Windhoek. So, and what you can expect today in our on our show this morning, the government is stepping in. The government is stepping in to rescue Namibia Industrial and Development Agency, NIDA. So he's stepping in. The government is actually stepping to rescue NIDA. Now, what we are unpacking is this a political decision or an economic one. So that's what we are unpacking. So, and if we still have time, there's an interesting new battle for Africa, you know, for Africa's future. And it's called actually the mineral diplomacy. It's called mineral diplomacy. And this battle is between US and China, you know, a new battle for Africa's future. It actually has just begun. So, well, if you remain tuned, we're probably going to get there. So if we still have time, we're going to watch that. It's very, very interesting. You know, you don't want to miss that. That's all coming up here on Unpacking the Day. So stay tuned. We'll be back. We will be right back in a sec.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutia, with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafa, Nana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuika Moshiwana, E. Moyao, Otaingo, Samweni, Anagishifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangeka. Saitanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupitramo, Eagle FM Media House. Way 20 Meha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yo mo programa letu. Moambo, lengera selma, kodara heta tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, welcome back. And if you want to be a sponsor of this program, you are also most welcome. Do that, you know, do that because, well, definitely we do a lot. Actually, we're bringing in a lot, you know, We do a lot to bring a lot to you. And if you really like that, what we do and you want us to remain on air, you know, and so you're most welcome to do that as well. Sponsor the program, you know, and we also definitely, you know, put your whatever you do, your business right up there as well. So, and if you have any business, if you have businesses, or if you want to advertise your business, or you have an event or function or workshop or business meeting, conferences, and sometime you really want to have that real time exposure via live streaming and broadcasting, you know, contact us. And if you want to, because this is one of the most listened show, well, and if you want it, you know, you can do that also on this show. So broadcast, advertise your business on this show as well. So, and contact our office number, 083-288-400. So make sure that you do that. So welcome, you know, Namibia. Welcome back to Unpacking the Day, your daily analysis into the stories, making headlines and shaping our nations. I'm your host, Mike Oshoveli, and this morning we are turning our attention to a story that has been bubbling for a while. And now it seems the government is stepping in to try and cool things down. Now, we are talking about Namibia Industrial Development Agency, or NIDA, and it's let's call them significant financial woes. I think that would actually describe this, you know, better. Now, from the very beginning on, let's have our mind, you know, open and thinking, is this maybe a Namibia, you know, 2.0? So let's have our mind at the back of our mind there, you know, as we analyze this. Now, for those who might not be familiar with NIDA, it is an agency. I need water. It's an agency that was set up with a very noble goal. It was set up with a very noble goal. What was the goal? It's actually to boost our nation, our nation's industrial development. It was also to create those crucial jobs and to give our small, especially now, to give our small and medium enterprises, our SME, a real fighting chance. So that's why it was created, giving our SME a real fighting chance. And one of its key roles, it was actually to provide affordable workspace for these small businesses. Okay? Provide workspaces for these small businesses. And think of it as it was like a helping hand. You know, the government was, you know, kind of like giving this helping hand, offering a roof over a startup's head, you know, so they can focus. Now, they don't have to worry about that, so that they can focus on growing their business. So, understand why it was created. That was actually a noble goal. But, my dear friend, the reality on the ground has been quite different. The reality has been disappointing. The report coming out paint a pretty grim, grim picture. Well, a picture that you can't even see. We also have a story. You can also, follow this story. I think there's a story also in the New Era covering actually the same story. You know, if you also want to go into details. But this is also a report that tabled in a parliament. Now, late last year, if we can think of this, late last year, according to the report now, late last year, NIDA reported an operating loss of a massive 102 million. Listen. NIDA reported an operating loss of a massive 102 million. That's a lot of zeros, my dear listeners. That's a lot of zeros. And a lot of money. So a lot of money that is not being used to build industries. So it was the money that actually meant to build the industry, but it's a lot of money that being used. You know, that not being used actually to build industries. Well, on top of that, we are hearing that NIDA is owed a massive 89 million. Owed. These are money owed now to NIDA, mostly in unpaid rent from over 1,000 tenants. So we have an agency that is losing money and struggling to collect what is owed. So we have an agency that is, you know, it's losing money and, well, it can't collect, you know, what is owed. Now, the good news, well, if you can look at it as a good news, could be a good news. It is good news. The good news, or at least the news that's supposed to bring some relief, is that two government ministries, the Ministry of Industries, Mine and Energy, and Ministry of Finance, they are joining forces. Okay? They decide we're going to join forces. All right. They are talking about streamlining NIDA's. NIDA apparently have an integrated business plan. So they are now, you know, talking about streamlining that integrated business plan. You know, getting it approved. One of the things is that to getting it approved, and the crucial part, capitalizing the agency. When I mean capitalizing the agency, it means in a plain English, they are talking about injecting money into NIDA. You know, first to clear its debts and get back on its feet. Clear your debt and get back on your feet. Hopefully this time towards profitability. Hopefully. Underline that hopefully. And we're going to analyze. Okay? So, now, Minister Natangwe Ithete, who actually owes me an interview, because last time I talked to him, he said, okay, I'm too busy. Gil called me in a month time. You know, I even called him yesterday. You know, the number is just pa 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 pa. So he owe me. If Minister Ithete, you're listening, remember you owe me an interview. All right. So he has stated that this capitalization will happen in phases. You know, starting with the historical debts. Okay? Paying off the historical debts. He also mentioned that a significant portion of the fund will also come from NIDA's own asset. So I'm actually putting you now, giving you a broader picture of what is happening. Now, here is where I earn my money. This is where now you have to join me. Here is where unpacking the day gets to work. This is where now we get to work. Now, so we don't just look at the press releases and the report or the official statements. No. That's not what we do here. Eh? You know that. That's not what we do here. So what we do, we go beyond that. Okay? Beyond those official statements, beyond those, you know, articles that we read. So, now, while the government intervention is a step, it is a step. Is it the right step? I'm asking you. I want you to put, have this at the back of your head, you know, at the back of your mind. So, you know, is it the right step? Could be, or might not be. Or is it enough, truly? So this is also what you have to think. Is it enough to truly fix what seemed to be a deep-seated problem? It doesn't look like this is just a simple problem that you can fix with capitalism. We're just injecting some money and then, we back. It looks like there is a deep-seated problem in here. It looks that way. Now, first, let's look at this. Now, first, the 102 million operating loss and the 89 million in rent arrears. Now, you see, this is the problem. And this is your problem as well. This is your problem, and I'm talking to you now. This is your problem, and this is the problem of us Namibian people. And hear me out. If you see people, maybe if you see picture of people dying of hunger, eating from the dustbin in Namibia, or demonstrating that they have no jobs, maybe that would make your heart a little bit sink. You know, as it sink a little bit, maybe that would make your heart a little bit move. Eh? It make your heart a bit move. But when you hear a 102 million operation loss, you probably just think, well, that company have lost about 102 million or 82 million in rent arrears. My friend, hear me out. These are not just numbers. These are not just numbers. They represent a failed opportunity. That's why you have people have no job. That's why SMEs are struggling, because this 102 million operating loss, they represent, or this 89 million in rent arrears, they represent their failed opportunities. They represent business that perhaps couldn't afford the rent. Or perhaps the service went there to warrant it. Yeah? Remember this. That present a failed opportunity. It failed you. So, and if you look at the article in the New Era, for example, it points out a site and premises program. Okay? Site and premises program has too often failed due to widespread neglect. Listen to this. Has too often failed due to widespread neglect, unaffordable rental fees, and the absence of basic service. So make sure, go get yourself a new era, maybe read the stories as well. So that's also, you can get a perspective. That's that. So now, listen. Now, even if NIDA is supposed to provide affordable workspace, well, if the electricity isn't working, the water isn't flowing, or the rent is still too high for struggling SME, what's the point? So what is the point? It sounds like NIDA might have been part of the problem. Not just a victim of circumstances. They might have been, they have been part of the problem. So then there is issue of oversight. Okay? In the report, there's an issue of oversight. Minister Ithet himself, acknowledged that despite existing structure, the oversight structure was in place. The minister, you know, he said that in the parliament. Beside the existing structure, there has been a lack of performing oversight. There hasn't been any performance of oversight. No wonder why you lose 102 million. So, now, and this is a critical point, and this is a critical point, Namibia, and my dear listeners. When you have a public entity, it needs to be accountable. And what happened now? All right, this money has been operated. The operational cost has been, well, that has been a failure. Now we're going to inject some more money in it. So we're going to inject some more money in it. Where's the accountability? You probably won't hear anybody fired. You won't hear anybody fired. Eh? Probably those who were in power, those who were actually managing, probably they're still the one who is actually continue running this. Do you understand? If there's no one watching to see if the money is being spent wisely, if the targets are being met, then we're going to come back, because we need to pay.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
All right, now, welcome back. So we talk about the accountability. It needs to be an accountability. When you have a public entity, taxpayers' money, so you need to be accountable. As I said, you probably won't hear anything. You won't hear that somebody has been fired or whatever. You're probably the same people. Now, and I said, if there's no one is watching to see if the money is being spent wisely, if the target are being met, then losses like these are almost inevitable. They're almost inevitable. It smells like a bit of a case of out of sight, out of mind for a very long time. Now, the article also mentioned a specific project that have been left dormant or inactive, which is very important to mention. We are talking about agro-processing, okay, industrial initiatives, even specific factories like the Kurenkuru Garment Factory and the Ondangwa Tannery, and the Manyeha crocodile leather centers. So, my dear friends, these are not just idle buildings. So think of this. And this is where I said, we as Namibian as well, So when you look at, these are not just idle buildings. Those buildings, they represent potential jobs. Eh? We just recently, part of this is now reviving actually the Ondangwa Tunnel. It hasn't been here. So I oversee it, and we don't realize that this is just not a building actually idle. That building represents a potential jobs. They represent a potential export. Because if we were able to do what we're supposed to do, there would be potential export of those products. and potential economic growth for those particular region. For the Ondangwa, for the region of Oshana, the Kurankuru garment factory. Imagine West Kavango would benefit. The economic growth would come from that. So, but we just let it. It's a failed Kurankuru garment factory is there. That represents the potential job. No wonder why we have unemployment, a potential export, and potential economic growth. So the question, well, this is also a question opposition leader McHenry Venani rightly raised. This is where this project ever, were they ever properly assessed for market demand? Was there a really analysis of local value chain before the money was invested? And that's the question we need to ask now. Has that been done now? What the minister responded to that question anyway, and it's quite telling. He admit that he and Mr. Venani were not involved in initial step, in initial setup of this project. So making it hard now to verify whether the market demand was done or anyone who made those claims, it's very difficult now. So, but he assured that he is taking responsibility now, this point to a potential historical issues of project being launched without solid foundation research. Was it based on a political will rather than an economic viability? Because if it was an economic viability, so this wouldn't happen. So, well, there has been done. There has been a decision for like Ondangwa Tunnel now. So it's more like there is private partnership, the PPP. So from the way how things look. So and definitely, if you build a factory without knowing if anyone will buy its product, for example, or if you can't get the raw material at a good price, you are setting it up for a failure from day one. You're setting up for a failure from day one. So the government plan, is to recapitalize NIDA. The minister say the fund will come from NIDA's own asset stream. And that's another issue. That's good. That sounds good when we said, well, some money will come from our own asset stream. And using what NIDA owes to fix its problem, I think that's a good thing. But what are these assets? So if you have read the stories, are they generating any income themselves? This asset, are they generating incomes in themselves? Now, and if they are, then the question is, why haven't they been enough to prevent this crisis? So why haven't been enough to prevent this crisis? That's a genuine question. So there's also a question of historical debt. We need to ask about the historical debt. How far back do those go? Are we talking about a mismanagement over the years or a single major blow that happened? More likely, mismanaged over the years. So the 102 million operating loss. Okay, just quickly before I let you come through. Okay, now let's break that down. If NIDA is supposed to be providing workspaces, its primary income should be rent, isn't it? Now, if it's struggling to collect rent and also has operational cost, which is salaries, maintenance, and utilities. My friend, I run a small counseling center. It is a recipe for disaster. Believe me. The fact that they have had, and also looking at the other issues that they have hired security to protect infrastructure. That in itself highlights the neglect and the potential for vandalism. That's what it means. And this is money being, now look at this, think of this now. This is the money being spent, now you spend money, after the initial investment, just to prevent further loss. Come on, guys. That's a waste of, this is not, how, okay. Just think of this. Now, this money is being spent. Now, after the initial investment that has been, you know, getting to 102 million operating loss, now you spend this just to prevent further loss. And then there are the cost of renovation. There's a renovation that is going on that the ministry is now attending to. It is like trying to put, you know, to put out fire while the building is still on fire, you know. So, now, is this government intervention a genuine rescue? That's my question. Is it a genuine rescue or just a temporary patch up? Are we just patching up? The plan is actually to approve the integrated business plan, capitalize NIDA, give NIDA money, and then weed out the project that aren't commercially feasible. So that's what's happening. It sounds like a sensible approach and identify. It's kind of like identify a lemon, identify the lemon and cut them loose. So, but the real test will be in the implementation. That's where the real test will be. So, yeah, with the new capital being it. Now, the other thing is also that will the new capital be enough to truly, truly clear the debts? You clear the debt, provide the working capital. So you clear the debt. Would it be enough to clear the debt and provide the working capital? Will the new business plan address the root causes? Because that's what you need to do. Would it address the root causes of affordability and lack of service? Because those were the problems. So will there finally be effective performance oversight? Remember, that was an issue. Minister Ithete promised Mr. Venani to watch the space. Watch the space. And indeed, we will be watching the space, especially unpacking. We will watch the space. So he assured the project will be productive and profitable. So he also reassured that progress will be visible by the end of the current financial year. That's what he's promised. And that's a tight deadline. Mr. Minister, it is really a tight deadline at the end of this financial year. Well, we see something already. I mean, there's a partnership already that PPP with Ondangwa Tannery. So, yeah, maybe we see some visible things already. So, now, let's look at this way, okay, before I let you come through. On one hand, the government has a clear agenda to fix a failing parastatal, to demonstrate that it can manage public resources effectively and to fulfill its mandate of economic development. That's what we have on one side. And this is crucial for public trust for us. It's very crucial for public trust and for attracting further investment. So if we see that this is a running property, it's profitable and all that. So that's very crucial for public trust. On the other hand, the intervention could also be seen as a political move, especially with questions raised by the opposition. Showing decisive action can also be beneficial. When you show a decisive decision in a case of maybe the minister or something, that can be beneficial politically as well. Well, we see that you're doing something. So that can be also that way. So can be also seen in that way. And we also need to consider the tenants. If the rents were indeed unaffordable or services lacking, their agenda is to have access to viable, affordable business services or business spaces that allow them to thrive. That's the agenda. So the question is whether the proposed solution truly cater to their need, to this SME needs, or one thing is also this, and this is, you have to think it carefully. If it is primarily about fixing NIDA's balance sheet, that's also all thing. Let's fix NIDA's balance sheet, but have we addressed those other issues of viability, access to viable, affordable business space that allow this small business actually to thrive? Have we then looked into that? And when we're looking at that, this is not the first time. You're most welcome now to come through. So this is not the first time we've seen a government entity struggling. Namibia have a history of parastatals facing financial challenges, often due to a combination of mismanagement, political interference in some instance, and lack of clear performance indicators. So we need to, and when we look at NIDA's situation, it's just a small scale version of these large issues. Eh? It's a small scale version of other bigger issues that we have seen before. And the success or a failure of this NIDA's turnaround, it will have a broader implication. It would have a broader implication if it works. So it could provide a model for other struggling state-owned enterprises, if it worked. If it fails, well, it raises serious questions about the government capacity to manage these entities and the long-term viability of such a development agencies. So, well, yeah, think about the missed opportunity, the missed economic potential. The missed economic potential, the 102 million in losses, isn't just a hole. That's not just a hole in NIDA's finance. Eh? It's not just a hole. It's money that could have been invested in the infrastructure, in education, or in healthcare, where we have problems. It could have been invested there. So, it's a job. It is a job that we are not, so that money, it's a job that hasn't been created. Job that were not created. It's a business that perhaps folded because they didn't get the support they needed because that they were needed to get. So what is your saying? What are you saying? So what is your take? So what do we take from here? So what is your take? So please do come through. Our telephone number is 0833-66091, and we are coming to you from Ondangwa studio. 0833-66091. So you are now welcome to come through and have your say. What do you think? What is your take? What is your contribution?
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Omutiha, utekiro kaguna, I matina omjo. Chika.
Okay, welcome back. And if we are knocking on my door, well, keep knocking. So, yes, we we're back. We missed that one. So, yeah. So, please do come through. Our telephone number, 08333-66091. Welcome to Unpacking the Day, if you're just joining us. So, what can we take away from this? The government is stepping in. Okay, let's go to the caller. A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking.
Yes, Dr. Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, man, and yourself?
I'm all right, Dr. Mike.
Yeah.
This need is the one with what? For that's agency to keep it the what?
Industrial Development Agency.
Yeah, which is looking after the property of government. Eh?
Not necessarily.
They're involved in what?
That's where you can able to rent. So what they normally do, what actually their purpose of when they were created, this was agent that was set up with, to boost our national industrial development and also to create jobs through industry, you know, through industrialization and to give our smaller, the most important was to give our small and medium enterprises, our SME, that was at the very beginning, a fighting chance, because what it was done is that it provide affordable workspace for these small businesses.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So kind of like you give some kind of a roof over those, startups' heads, and then so that they can only focus on growing their business. They don't worry about too much of the rent and all that. So, and that was different. And they were never able to offer that, or could be the rent was still expensive for the SMEs and all those. It's the one that the one that do the incubators that you see. It should be under the NIDA, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think even injecting the money now without getting rid of the what? The people who are responsible for them to make it fail, to won't work.
That's my issue. Heard that there has been an accountability where the people who have put this company or this agency into these losses, they're gone. Yeah. They're gone, you know?
That would be better.
Yeah.
Putting money. Now you're putting money in there. What is the difference going to make?
Yeah. And then I said, well, if he failed before, what are you going to do? Are you going to train him? Yes, maybe there hasn't been oversight. Now you think, okay, we're going to provide an oversight. So, but what if the person is just incapable?
Exactly.
You know.
And the problem, what we see in Namibia is that every time anything happens, it's always, they repeat the same thing. Yeah. And they never change anything. You see, when it comes to this NIDA, you know that we have I'm giving an example of the one with in Windhoek. You know this way they are doing the driving school?
Yeah.
Someone in ShopRite, they are this side. What they call this thing, son? Boko, what?
Which side?
I forget the name. This side of, from Akana Service, between Akana Service and the Katrov Stand. Yeah, there's incubator here.
I see that one here.
Some people are even, they are well off now, but they are still operating there.
Yeah.
So when are we going to give it the smaller one we are coming?
And that was the whole idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Because now, I remember even, if you go there, I think there's even Indian.
Yeah, you see.
Which are doing extra, textile.
Yeah. Now you put up the rent higher for those who can afford it, but it was meant for small and medium enterprises.
For small, exactly. Yeah. That's the problem.
Mm.
And I don't know, man. Seriously, when you're talking about even like losing 100-something million, it's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
Serious. That money can make a lot of things happen in Namibia.
Yeah.
Now you're even talking about what the tunnel which we are... And they were talking about even like what? The other one. And if you look in that process, they can also support to revive what? Lamatex.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because there are a lot of people who are doing what? Graduate from doing what? This, what do you call it? The people who are doing sewing.
Mm.
But they don't have any job. And the one you see them, they are doing literally at their house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Having only custom, but they are not going to expose them because NIDA is not away. And the NIDA is keeping the people
And they're operating.
More than 10 years.
Yeah. They're operating at home where they aren't really exposed.
No, not exposed to customs.
Yeah, they are not exposed to customs. They were supposed to operate in those kind of space.
I'm telling you, that's why I'm saying, no, if you go to this one, there's a Boko Mass or something.
But it's
a textile for the Indian.
Yeah.
Which are doing even government jobs.
The worst part is also that they also failing to collect rent. 89 million
Just imagine.
Of uncollected rent. You know?
Oh my goodness.
89 million
And you are having a lot of unemployed in the street roaming around.
Of unpaid rent from over 1,000 tenants.
Just imagine.
Yeah.
Is that hard to confiscate even the person who's lending
things, stuff,
and then you keep it and you can resell it? It's what they do with their private flats.
Mm.
Why they cannot do the same with the government? What? How can they not collect it? Now they need again what do you think municipalities are employing? Red Force.
The Red Force. Which somebody said, hey. No more Red Force.
Okay, and now that they said is turning around the strategy, without firing those people, who can even be able to collect the rent.
Yeah.
Now what are you going to make a difference?
Yeah.
Or you are going to do the same thing what they've been doing?
So that's what I need to hear. I need to hear accountability. And then the way you move forward is to say, I'm moving forward now. We get rid of the people.
Because we get rid of those people. Now we have a new one.
Yeah.
And then we know that these are capable because we give them what? A training.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is the way to go. But if radio are telling no, we are going to rescue. Why are we going to rescue?
So
we are just going to put the money in the water.
People who got the money, the initial investment, and they're just gone. The money just, no, nobody even bother asking where's the money?
Hey.
Who actually was in charge? You know,
exactly.
Because those are public money. That's taxpayers' money. And one cannot just 102. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, 100 million. Well, the operation wasn't, you know,
it's successful.
Yeah.
We are going to invest again. Well, what about the other money? Where's the accountability taking place?
Yeah.
If you are saying it will not be business as usual. What are you telling us?
I think we need some kind of, I don't know who actually need to take up that responsibility. We need some kind of community watch.
Anti-corruption is about even to get involved already.
Community, exactly, you know, the ACC. Maybe we need community watchdog or some kind of like that are embedded in the government. Community watchdog. Yeah.
You know, sorry to interrupt you. You know what, this is what I was saying, that, you know, instead of having this agency, this protocol spy, keeping in Namibia what they are donating and what, let us have something which can keep Namibian government to dancing on the toe, which they supported outside, because what they do here, they come with their agency of for spying government, what, but we need our people yet, so our government we can put on the track. You know, last time I was talking to you that, you know,
but also you can also think that the oppositions are also failing.
They
just got in the parliament and they sit their role. That's it. You know,
I'm telling
these
you,
these are the ones who should be able to see. We want that accountability. We want you to answer. Tell us. You know.
Yeah.
Eh? So there's nothing going on.
I think what watchdog which we need here, we need a watchdog which is not been benefited out of from the government. Because remember, we have the ombudsman, which we don't know what is mean. I think they don't know what is even the mandate for them anymore.
Yeah.
Because this is happening, we have the ICC. ICC, we cannot even talk about it because now, they cannot see those things. They need somebody to report it to them. You see? The problem, I think, what you see in Namibia is that, my friend, there are too many men missing, man. If you are talking about starting from this road, social security, oil, talk about diamond, which up to now, as you said, didn't
Namco?
Find anything.
Namco? But get, Namco?
Namco, exactly.
You are oversight, talking, the
now you are talking about NIDA.
Yeah.
Now it's NIDA. And the ICC, they are quiet. Mm-hmm. Come on, guys, man.
We talk
for
about
how long?
We
and then now
Mitico?
We have people, Mythicals, yeah. And then now we have people, yeah, Mythicals. There's Mythicals for what? I mean, get the Miss Kama. And ICC is quiet. Up to now, it never get involved in the Mythicals.
It's just operation cost going down.
Come on,
you know,
man.
That's the thing, yeah.
No. That money can take care of this country. That's what I'm saying. Our leaders, they are not sinful because when you even go to the United Nations, then we are there talking about we need to provide the water, clean water for our people, and we know we need also how we have a problem of housing. That is just going to ask you, how long have you been independent? 35 years. Guys, is this a money problem or is a leadership crisis?
A management crisis.
Because I'm telling you, it's a leadership crisis because sometimes you can just waking up, my friend, and you say, no, I want this thing in the end to be done. If I see anything happen, I'm going to fire your minister directly. Yeah. 24 hours, you pack your bag, you go.
Yeah.
Because you're not cleaning up your what? I don't know what NIDA is falling to. If it's a minister of work or who's impossible for NIDA.
Mm.
It's always a
It's like what somehow what Sangwasa is doing. You know, it's not constitutional, it's out.
Yeah.
It's not, you're not
you
doing
have
your
to go.
Job. You
that
go.
Is a leadership.
And,
you
and
go.
You understand.
Friend.
You understand.
Yeah.
That's what you
do. You're not alone. There are a lot of people who are with a qualification in the street.
Yeah.
But you are here, getting you are given a chance, but you are not you're doing what is supposed to be done.
Mm.
So why should we give another chance again? Let us give it a chance to another person who is in the street.
Yeah.
So maybe he's capable of doing better than you.
It's
but hard. If you are saying, no, I'm going to inject money, for what now?
Yeah.
Do you think that person is going, just imagine, just to collect the land? If this person is not able to pay.
Mm. First of all,
the machinery or whatever you have there.
Yeah, one is not about, we're not against injecting money. But the question is, you immediately you ask, okay, what has changed? You know, that's the first question you ask. What has changed? Have you done this? Have you done this? Is there done this? You know, what happened to the people who did this? Where are they going? Are they
where
still
are they
there?
Now? Yeah.
You have all these questions.
Why they are not even getting arrested? Because it's 100 and something million. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
In this country, it's a lot. It can do a lot of things.
Yeah.
Now we are here crying unemployment, but we are the one.
That we could be rightfully used to create this, but definitely as we are not accountable to that.
Michael, to tell you the truth, ne, I don't know what even the world will see as Namibia. Everybody's laughing at us. I'm telling you, and that's why you see a lot of people are flocking to come to Namibia because there's a leadership crisis. There's a lot of opportunity. People that don't know what is there. They say what? Lawless. Also, when come to Namibia, there's lawless. There's nothing. There's no law here.
Yeah.
The law which we know, the law which is dealing with Namibia when it comes to this, municipality by law.
Yeah.
They're just not enforced. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, it might as well that they are not there if they are not enforced. Why the law are there and they are not being enforced, you know?
That's the thing. Mm. Seriously, it's a hard time, I think. It's too much money missing, man, every day.
Yeah.
Within the government. And right. When we are seeing that business cannot be as usual, people need to be such arrested. There are things, property or whatever, they must confiscated by government.
Yeah.
So they can feel, they can give an example to others so they cannot repeat the same. Because once it happened somewhere, again, you remember the other time, I don't know if it was, I think it's last year when NAP, they buy a car, it was president and the, what? Then I said, no, the thing is when, once it happened there, once you buy, it's that time of campaign, they give him Netumbo and the Sofia Shaningwe and the who, cars for costing you 4 million or something. They said, no, this is not a good example to show off.
Yeah.
That's with a month that the NAP boss and what they buy also the same car. I mean, they buy themselves cars and the people start complaining because they didn't get their bonus over the year.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, guys, it's start on top. Once you start like that, everybody learning the example. Because why, I would say, why did this happen to the other person, but they didn't deal with him? Then the anti-corruption also now is in the mess, because they cannot do anything, because there's a lot of things happen, but they never follow up.
Mm. Yeah.
And now, it's what we see, things are just escalating. Now it's just making. Nida
yeah.
again.
Yeah, we need thing to see.
It doesn't need even a person who's go qualified to go and collect the what?
Yeah.
Learn. You so, don't need to have a degree for that.
Mm.
At all. Mm-mm. Yeah, you just show up, my friend. We didn't show up. Balance it when you come to the our bank.
Yeah.
You which you're supposed to be here. Now
and,
we come with a new lock. We are locking this until you pay our money,
yeah.
then you come and take your stuff.
It's a lot of money.
We'll find another tenant who can come. It's a lot of money, my friend.
8-9 million is and a lot of money, you know.
It's a lot of money. And I'm telling you, if you go to those people who are with those, there are people who are well off, who are raising money.
Yeah.
They are the one who doing that. Because a person who's poor is always honest,
yeah.
try to pay off whatever because
you don't you want know, the you don't lose,
cannot,
yeah.
they don't want the problem because they know they cannot afford the law, the lawyer to represent them.
All right.
But this one, they know, they don't care. They know that they will hire the best lawyer in Namibia to come and defend their, so they can recover their material.
Yeah.
That is what is happening. Okay, my brother.
Okay, great, man. Thanks for coming through.
All right.
Okay. Our 333-66091. Our 333-66091. We want to see heads spinning. Heads spinning. You know? So, yeah. So, as I said, just give probably a summary of what I have been talking about on this topic. So, the government is stepping in to rescue NIDA, aiming to clear its 102. Million in losses and 8-9 million in debt. So, and this involved now capitalization and review of its business plan. The goal is actually to make NIDA profitable and to ensure its project like the Kurenkuru garment factory and Ondangwa tannery become viable. And we see that Ondangwa there has been a move already towards that. So hopefully, yeah, we will see the result of that. So, however, we must critically question if this is a superficial fixed. You know, have you checked other things that have been a problem before, or is this a genuine overhaul? So. Is this a genuine overhaul? So the recurring themes of neglect, unaffordable rent, lack of services, a poor oversight, it suggested that there was some deep-rooted problems. So have those been, you know, have those been actually rectified? So in the success of this intervention, I think will hinge on a strong implementation, genuine accountability, and a clear focus on the needs of the SME, as NIDA is meant to serve, because that's what NIDA meant to serve. So this is a story that affects us all. It does affect us all. It's about how our public funds are managed and whether our economic development agencies are truly delivering on their promises. Eh? Are they truly delivering on their promises? We need transparency, we need accountability, and we need result. Transparency, accountability, result. That's what we need. So, and what is your thought, Namibia? What is your thought, my dear listeners? Do you believe this rescue plan will work? Have you had an experience? Maybe you have an experience with NIDA, good or bad. You can also attest to that. Have you have an experience with NIDA? You know, could be good experience. It might be good as well. It could be bad. So you're most welcome to come through and share that with us. So we encourage you to share your views and let's keep this conversation going. 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
Well, when you just put in Eagle FM Namibia, you will be able to get to have access to all our, you know, platforms. You can, you know, you can be able to go to our Facebook, you can be able to, you know, you're going to able to all the platforms, you know, Twitters or X, you know, Instagram and LinkedIn and all that. So, and make sure that you also, when you are there, when you are at them, please engage with us. Leave a comment, share, you know, share also the our platforms as well, the things that are there, you know, and yeah, make sure that you get to those platforms and you engage with us. All right. So we continue. We were looking at the government actually injecting, you know, some capital in NIDA, atrocious or financial woeful, how would I put that, to help, you know, come up again. And so this capitalization and also a review of its business plan. So the whole idea is actually to make NIDA profitable again. And well, they never been profitable anyway. So, and to ensure that project, as I said earlier, project like Kurenkuru garment factory and the Ondangwa tannery become viable. So yes. And as we said, the success of these interventions will hinge on strong implementation strategies, genuine accountability, and a clear focus on, because that's what's meant for, a clear focus on the needs of the SMEs, because that's what NIDA's meant to really serve. All right, and if you want to, you know, contribute to that, you're most welcome. Our telephone number is 083-366-091. That's the number to dial to get to me here in the studio. So, and we're moving forward because we have another interesting one that you that we can share with you. So our time is about 11 minutes past the hour of nine. Yeah. So, and now, welcome back. Yeah. So if you're just coming now, if you're just coming up now, if you're just joining us this now, this is Unpacking the Day. This is your daily dose of insight and analysis right here on Eagle FM. I'm Michael Chiavelli. And in this segment now, we're going to look at who is investing where and who's making the big decisions and how that shapes our future here in Namibia and maybe across the continent. So you see, the world is always shifting. right? Sometimes those shifts feel like a competition playing out on our very doorsteps, you know? So this shift now, sometimes it's just like they are playing out on right here on our doorstep. So lately there has been a lot of talk, a lot of meeting happening far away in Washington, D.C., about Africa. So, and at the heart of it all, it seems it's a familiar rivalry. You know, the rivalry of United States. It's China, all right? So, very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Uncle Gwena. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
NIDA is the Namibia
Industrial Development Agency.
Oh, yeah.
And it has failed us terribly.
Oh, it has failed you terribly.
Yeah, it has failed us terribly. Yeah.
Is it the same organization, the same body that has actually facilitated the reputation, they promoted the Namibian environment. In fact, so to say, maybe we can use this word, sell the country to the world that Namibia is a destiny for foreign investment, the destiny that can become a logistic hub.
No, their focus is more really creating, investing in infrastructure, especially with locally, and helping much of the SME. That's you know, the incubator that you normally we have around.
Yeah, so the ones in municipality. I have. Is it the one that was led by Ben Wanja?
No. That's not sort of different. Then NIDPDB. Yeah, no, that's different. Yeah.
Namibia Investment and Development.
NIPDB is a board. Mm-hmm. So Namibia Investment Board. So, it's not that one. It's not that one.
This one, we are also talking like no both of them.
Yeah.
I just say that one has become a directorate.
Yeah.
This one, they have actually, they were also involved in this, zoning. I mean,
you know, things like, you know, the Karanguru garment factory. Those are supposed to manage by this parastatal. You know, the Ondangwa tannery. You know, those are things that are falling from this. You know, and there are others as well. So
I have interacted with them. They're responsible because they were also actually facilitating some of these projects from the Minister of Trade and Industry. I only forget the name that they were used to use to capture those projects that like the one that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Now, if they are to turn to the government for rescue,
the government is going to rescue them.
If they are going to be rescued, I think the government has actually to do a good thing. The reasons why I'm saying so is that we are actually talking about small, medium enterprise.
Yeah.
And they also need facilities, infrastructures that you're talking about. This SME, they need to be assisted.
Yeah.
For example, if they are to build infrastructure for incubators, and then those incubators are graduating. We have some incubators in Windhoek here. We have some incubators in different regions. But those incubators, when they are put there, they are also designated sometimes at the places where the customers and the sellers, traders and buyers are far apart. Say for example, so the window is fine. You can, if you go to Akana service station, here there's an incubator, this other side. But we also want those ones who are actually housed in places where they can really do some tangible things. Because, for example, let's say auto mechanics. And there are also the other, those ones who are under the bush mechanics. You know, they call them bush mechanics. And those ones, they are also, they also need to be incubated.
Yeah.
Maybe take an economic opportunity to where they are. Maybe the ones that are designed by municipality are not accessible or they are not viable to the clients. For example, if I have to go and buy Oshikundu from Mundu here, Oshikundu, Omgome, and some of these traditional foods.
Yeah.
I just have to run to the one that is close to Atahana, between Swapo's office and there.
Yeah.
But if you don't go to Venel, imagine coming from the government park,
yeah,
where somebody is working, and all those clients are working, and the incubator is only in Katutura. Driving from there, taking you to Katutura, to buy Shingome, and then you all go to Venel, where it's not even conducive because some of the people there, they are church. You are talking about Tateshi Zampasha,
yeah,
who is now calling for the reform and the amendment of this municipal bylaw that chase people out from the street.
Yeah, actually, what? Now just to interrupt you a little bit. Now you mentioned Mr. Sankwasa. Actually, the main issue here is that NIDA has a reported operating loss of massive of 102 million. I think the things that you're saying, the how it was created, NIDA how it was created, it's a noble goal. All the things that you're saying, that's what we want to see. But now they have lost, they have operating loss of 102 million, and also they need a owed, they're owed by the tenant 89 million that they couldn't collect. So the idea is that, okay, we need to see. Head spinning. If these people do, what are the changes that's going to be? If there are people who are actually managing this and they couldn't actually, and they spend and they have lost, what are they going to, what is going to be done to make that difference?
My brother, I don't know the budget that they got last time. They actually depleted by using some noble goals. And if they could not even correct some debts from the clients who are also struggling, maybe the budget that they got was not sufficient, I don't know. Or maybe the mandate, the function that they carried on, maybe they needed some kind of emergency budget in terms of eventuality. And even if they climb, you know, just like Lead Force, for example, there are people who could really manage, there are entities that can really manage and negotiate a win-win situation with the clients. If the clients did not pay, maybe in those incubations, maybe let's say $20, because I know if you go to municipality, those incubators, I don't know how much they pay, but they always pay a reasonable amount. If they could not pay that, and data needed to have to correct that amount so that to save it, many people are not patriotic. They are not so honest in paying those kind of things. So the debt that they are owned by the clients and the debt that they have incurred because of their operation. Maybe the resulted from the insufficient budget that they got from the government. Why do you think the government was able to be convinced by the leader to bail them out? Those are some of the issues that you need to look at. Not necessarily because people, the client did not want to pay. Maybe it was higher amounts. Yeah. Or maybe didn't make
profit. I get what you're saying. But if that's the case, we also need, those are, that's what I said, as a public, we need to be, those are the transparents. We need to hear that. No, the government actually couldn't pay the amount of the work that they have and the budget that they got. It was much far less, and that's why they couldn't actually, you know, fulfill what. It's not on them. It's actually not on their management. It is on the budget, you know, and that would make us, you won't even question that, you know,
because that's very clear. Yeah. I wish I could have the report on my table here, so that to analyze and see what were the contributing sector.
Even the minister himself, he said there are existing performance oversight, but that was not followed. He said in the parliament, you know, so mm-hmm. that was not followed. So, and there were a lot of things that we already talked about, you know, that were contributing factor to that. So,
I think
mismanagement is one of them. Yeah.
Yes. So if they did not get sufficient budget by that time, maybe they also predicted to have, employ some people because they're supposed to also generate revenue for the government.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, remember, a lot of things have changed. I don't know, that report is from so-so-so time up to so-so-so time, but nevertheless, if the government found it fit and they appreciated that request,
yeah,
and if it's in the hands, it's in the interest of the public, maybe just to further or make the service operation more efficient, I think that's good enough. But if they just squander the money,
yeah,
and then maybe they return the money to the treasury, national treasury, and they couldn't utilize it, if they utilize the money, and then they actually found themselves in debt, that's something else.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Uncle Bana.
Good.
All right. We're all welcome, you know. All right. Our telephone number, not our telephone number. Our time is about 25 minutes past the hour of 9. And, you are welcome. You're welcome. Either to still comment on NIDA. And there are 102 million operating loss, and there are 89 million in rand arrears. And and as I said, this actually represent the failed opportunities. So they represent a business that perhaps, you know, couldn't afford rent. You know, perhaps the service went there to warrant it. So it is something that, you know, as I said, this is about, of course, this is at the center. You know, the government sees that this is at the center of what they want to do. NIDA is supposed to provide affordable workspace, you know, and to, especially to SMEs and, you know, create industrialized opportunities. So, and development. So this is at the center of what the government want. And maybe that's why they want to put money into that, you know, and we, from the government, you understand why they want to inject money into it. But the question is, you know, have you dealt? The question is, have you dealt with the issues that were before so that we don't fall in the same, you know, in the same problems, 2-3 years later. So, and this is coming from, an experience of many, many parastatals that we have seen actually, you know, struggling in terms of this and all what we're saying. And we should be the one as a public. We should be the one to guard our money, to say we want the money that is coming from the government into this parastatal used properly. You know, used for us. We used to actually benefit us. Okay, we don't want to hear at one point, you know, this money is it's so there's so massive money that has lost or that is not, you know, like now we're talking about in arrears or things like that. You know, we want effective people who can do what is expected to do, effective performance of oversight as well, which hasn't been there as the minister even said. So yeah, let be guard, let be vigilant in terms of this is our money and we want to make sure that it's not just squandered and in the end we don't profit. It's not actually doing what it's supposed to do. You know, access to viable, affordable business space to allow the small business actually to thrive. So that's what we want to see. And we want to see that, so as I said, we know there has been a history of many government entities struggling. Namibia has a history of parastatals facing financial challenges, you know, often due to combination of mismanagement, sometime, you know, some entities, political interference, and lack of clear performance indicators. So, and those, we want it sorted out. We want it sorted out. So before we inject our taxpayers' money into that again. All right. 0833-66 is the number you can actually call. 0833-66091 is the number you can call, you can dial if you want to take part in that discussion. So we were going forward. We were looking at, as I said, we see the world actually always shifting. And sometimes those shifts feel like quite competition playing out on our very doorsteps, right on our doors. And I was saying lately, there has been a lot of talk of a lot of meetings happening away in Washington, Washington DC, about Africa. And at the heart of it all, it seems a familiar rivalry, which is actually familiar rivalry of the United States, which is actually China. Now, some of you might be thinking, this is about politics over there, not us. Well, trust me, where the big global players decided to put their money, their influence and their attention, that has a direct impact on the job, on development, and any infrastructure we use. It does, even on the prices of things we buy. So, just bear with me. Let's unpack this because it's still important to you. Now, what we're looking at the headlines, U.S. and China, a new battle for Africa's future begins. And this is coming from the Business Inside Africa. And it paints a picture of Washington, D.C. suddenly paying a lot more attention to our continent. So Washington is suddenly paying a lot more attention to our continent. You know why? So it's not about tariff things. So why now? Why now actually they are paying attention? The article suggests that the U.S. feel like China has been actually making some serious inroads, getting involved in big projects, securing access to our valuable resources, and generally building a strong presence in Africa. So that actually is the motivating factor. For quite a while now, we know China has been a major player in building infrastructure across Africa for years. Roads, railways, ports, you have seen them, you know, across Africa, we have all seen those project. Now, so they have been investing heavily, and this article point out that the U.S. is starting to feel like they are falling behind, you know. So it's like, you know, it's like this. It's kind of like you see there's that lady that you really, that lady that's a man, you know. And what happened? You kind of been hesitating, and now you see another guy is approaching, is talking to her. And you kind of think, well, if I don't do anything, you know, my love of my life will be probably gone. It will be taken out by this guy. So I think that's that's an analogy that the state find themselves. So they are worried about China's influence, especially in strategic areas like the Indian Ocean coast. So now the U.S. has been a bit distracted, you know, with its own internal issues, and some of its trade deals with Africa have been on hold. So, but they are now saying, well, hang on a minute, you know, hang on a minute. We need to re-engage. So we need to re-engage again. So, and their focus seemed to be on two main things. Okay? Their focus seemed to be on two main things. The minerals and maritime influence. Those are the focus now. So the minerals and the maritime influence. Now, let's start with, first of all, with the maritimes first. Let's start with the minerals, because that's what we are rich in. You know, that's what Namibia is rich more. That's what we are very rich in. We are rich in those minerals. So now we're talking about things like cobalt, talking about lithium, we're talking about copper. So these are the essential ingredients. These minerals are essential ingredients for the technology that powers our modern world today. So from electric cars to smartphones. So you need cobalt, lithium, and copper. So these are very essential ingredient for the technology. So China has been very shrewd in securing access to these minerals, often through direct investment and long-term deals in Africa. So, and this is what now the U.S. is calling mineral diplomacy. So mineral diplomacy. So they want to compete. So now they want to compete. They want to ensure that these vital resources don't all end up in one country's hands. So they want to compete. So mineral diplomacy. So that's a new term. Watch that word, mineral diplomacy. It's going to become something people know, talk about, mineral diplomacy. Believe me. But what does this mineral diplomacy actually meant for us? Because is it about, now, mineral diplomacy, is it about fair deals for Namibia and also for Africa, wherever this is actually taking place? Is it about ensuring we get the best value of our resources? Or is it just about which foreign power has the better relationship with our government? Is it about that? So we need to ask, who truly benefits? That should be our focus. Who truly benefits when this global power vie now? They vie for our natural wealth. So are we, the Namibian, dictating? Are we? Because even now when they're doing the discussion, the talks that are going on, it happened in their capitals without us involved. So are we dictating the terms of engagement, or are we player being moved as usual, being moved around on a global chessboard? So we just players moved around on a global chessboard. You now, this now is China, and the next time is US, and you know. So are we? So that's the question, you know. Is this an opportunity also when we have the bigger, you know, these global powers are competing? Is maybe a chance for us also? Is there opportunity there that we should maybe manipulate or not manipulate, but, you know, take advantage of? Now, so let's shift gear to the maritime aspect, okay? So the article highlights China's growing presence along the Indian Ocean coastlines. Okay, we're talking about ports, logistics, and even naval base in Djibouti. So they have actually a naval base in Djibouti. Now, why this is so important? Why this is so important? Because the Indian Ocean is a major trade route, one of them. It's a major trade route and controlling key points. It's also controlling key points. Along it, it gives a significant economic and strategic power, you know? And this Indian Ocean corridor is crucial for many African, you know, African nations, including some of our neighbors. South Africa also, you know, Mozambique. So it is a very crucial, a significant corridor for economic and strategic power. So now the U.S. is holding a higher level meeting talking about China's maritime strategy. So they are worried. So they are worried about China's influence. They are so they are worried about their influences in places like Bab el-Mandeb Strait and the Mozambique Channel. These are the critical marine choke points. You see? And guess what? So the U.S., now, because of those, the U.S. also is planning its next big business summit with Africa in Mauritius. The Indian, you know, we talk about the Indian coastline. So an island nation in the Indian Ocean. So interesting choice, isn't it? So especially since Mauritius is not part of China's massive Belt and Road Initiative. You know that project for Africa, Belt and Road Initiative? So Mauritius is actually not part of that. So this move suggests a deliberate move actually by the U.S. to strengthen ties in a region where China has been making significant headways. So that is absolutely, you know, clear. So what are we seeing here? All right? What are we seeing? What is happening? So it feels like the U.S. is waking up to the fact that Africa is a continent of immense opportunity. But their renewed interest seem primarily driven by competition with China. Maybe it's not really anything that we have to do with us. It's more like it's driven by the competition with China. So the question for us as Namibian is, how do we ensure this renewed interest serves our interests? Maybe also the question for not only Namibian, but for whatever now, when American decided, okay, Namibian, we, as I said, we have those minerals, lithium, cobalt, and copper. So if U.S. now come knocking on our door, so we know what they're all about, this renewed interest. So we know what this is all about. Okay? So, as I said, the question is, how do we ensure this new interest? We don't care whether the competition is between them and China, but for us, that could be an opportunity. So is how do we ensure this renewed interest serve our interest? Eh? So that's what we need to for ourselves, actually, and Africa in general, need to focus on. So, and we have had promises from foreign power before. Okay? We have seen large infrastructure project. Yes, we have seen actually large infrastructure project, and they have brought some benefits. So, yes. But have they always been tailored? This is the question. Have they been always tailored to our specific needs? Are we dictating that? Have they created a sustainable job for Namibians? Well, you can say yes, in some case. Have they helped us? Maybe we can then use those as models of new ones that we may engage. Have they helped us build our capacity, our own capacity for the longer term? Or have they sometime maybe come with string attached, like in many cases, and simply benefited external interests more? We have example of those that have come with strings attached. And then yesterday we were talking to the FDI and how much money that actually we are forking out, you know, for this external, for foreign investors. We talked about yesterday, the FDI. So the article mentioned that Washington is deepening its engagement with the private sector, which is actually very good. This is important. For too long, perhaps discussion about Africa have happened in foreign capital, like as you said, in Washington, with little input from African business and communities that are actually on the ground. So they come with decision that are already made, and we need to see genuine partnership. We need to see genuine partnership, not just details that benefit this multinational corporation or foreign government. We need genuine to see that genuine partnership. And maybe sometimes you think we know what we want and we see that in our leaders sometimes, but maybe it's just difficult to implement. Maybe just it's so difficult. There's so much hurdles that we have to go through to be able to do that. Maybe let's consider historical context for a moment. So Africa has a long history of being a prize. We have been a prize in a global power struggle. We are the prize, you know. There's a global struggle that is going on, a global power struggle, and we are the prize, you know. From colonial time, you know, from colonial times to Cold War, our continent has often been a battleground for external ideologies. Much of the ideologies that we have are being implemented here. This is where, you know, for economic interest, we have been a battleground for external ideologies and economic interests. So, while the language today is about trade and investment, because that's the language today, we must, as I said earlier, we must remain vigilant. Are we truly setting the agenda? Are we truly setting the agenda, or are we still being directed? That's a question we need to ask ourselves, given all these talks that are taking place. But some might argue that this competition is actually a good thing. More attention, more investment, more offer on the table. If we have Russia and we have China, and I mean, if you have Americans and you have Chinese, so there is more offer on the table. And that actually should position us in the position of power. Because we are the one now saying, no, we don't want you, we want this one. But remember also geopolitical influence. Sometime you will be forced to kind of like, you have to choose, or otherwise, you know? So, but in the moment, as I said, there are more offer on the table, and it could lead to better deals for Namibia and for any other African country. But we gotta be smart. We gotta be smart. We need to have a clear national strategies. We need to ask the tough questions. We need to ask those tough questions. Things that we normally analyze here. What are the long-term implications of this investment? It's not just something that sometimes we talk about. Last time when I have Musheko here. So one of the things what I ask is about the long-term implication of those investments. Are these projects sustainable? Are they environmentally friendly? So it may employ a lot of people, but it may have actually dire consequences in the end. So, and the other thing that I asked also was, do they align with our national development goals? Or are we just attending to what the, to the interests of the, of the investors? Do they align with our national development goals? Those are questions that we, you know, our leader, ourselves, we also need to monitor. Eh? So, the other things, we see some organizations that come here, institutions, the companies that are come here, and they don't, you know, respect our labor. Are labor's law being respected? We have seen that. We have seen that a couple of times, especially when it's come to these giant companies that are coming from, you know, for example, China's. We have seen that, that our laws are not being respected and are not being, maybe that's deliberately not being enforced. Could be. And most importantly, is this investment genuinely empowering Namibian and its people? We're tired to be on the edge of peripheral, you know, where we just, you know, you just scramble, you know, just eat the scramble that fall from the boss table. Huh? Aren't you? And that's us as citizens. That's, you have to be seriously. If we just leave it up to say, it this for us to change, guys, for us really to move forward, we all need to think. We all need to think. Really thinking, really involved. Eh? Is this for our benefit? Are our laws respected? Is this aligning with our national development plans? Eh? So the problem is, if you don't even know what is the national developing goals, you're not even familiar with it. You don't even know when you are being cheated. You don't even when the projects are coming in, they align with that. Because you have no idea of the development goals yourself. And how do you expect now? How do you? there are even people that are in, believe me, there are even in the strategic position who, on the surface, when you talk to them, and sometimes I have talked to governors, and I not only governor, I have also talked to the ministers, I've talked to some executive directors, you know, and sometimes you ask question and this person have no clue. He will tell you this, the basic thing. He will tell you the what is being repeated all the time. You know? You know, the priority of this administration is this and this. But when you go a little bit deeper, you realize that the person have no clue. Yeah. There are those who are. And can really tell you this, we are implementing this because this is what, and they can tell you, they can, you know, if someone, even if it's not implemented because of other factors that may, you can see the person knows where they are going and what they want. There are some governors that you can see. They know what they want, they know what are the priorities are, and I'm not only talking about governors, I'm also talking about other officials within the government. That those who are just clueless, absolutely clueless. They are this rhetoric, you know, that people just say, you know, when they are talking. And sometimes and this is the challenge. It's not about challenge your loyalty to any party. It's really listen. And I want you to listen. And when you listen, there you listen to what any politician of any political party, what they're telling you. Listen to what they're saying. And you ask yourself, am I just really spending my 2 hours just to listen to this? How does this, you know, how does this actually bring table or bring butter, you know, bread and butter on my table? And it has been a while. It has been for you. Just listen. Just critically. Just take time now, critical to listen. or just maybe you are not at any rally, or just listen to any, either a governor or a minister or an official, just listen to what they're saying. And be more critical, you know, and really, because that's what we need to do. Because sometimes, as I said, when we say be accountable, you also, as a CDB, hold your leaders wherever you are. Hold accountable to your headman. Eh? As a citizen in Mkunda, held your headman accountable. But do you know what he does? You can only accountable when you account to what they need to do, because if you know what they do, if you don't, there's nothing that you can be account for and you can hold him account for. So it is on us. We need to educate ourselves. We need to read. We need to, you know, to understand the laws. We need to, you know, it's the same thing that the IPC leader used to do. Understand the law. Understand your constitution. That's the only way you can be able to, first of all, stand up for yourself. Demand what you need to demand. Demand services. You can't demand services when you don't know if you deserve that service. So that's very important. So, and the article points out that the U.S. is pushing for mineral diplomacy. Now, this is actually meant to counter China's grip. So China seems to have actually grip in Africa. So this sounds like a direct challenge now to China. But what is the U.S. offering in return? It's not just a competition with China, but what do they offer? Will it be about fair trade and development, like what China probably is doing in some countries? Would it be another form of dependency? Eh? So we need to seek concrete proposals. So not just rhetoric. We need to see also from this giant. We need to see, concrete proposals that bring really a difference in our country. So, and what about China's perspective? Do you think actually China would just lie down? You know, they are unlikely simply to back down. You understand? So we will be the grass where these two giants are fighting. And what happened? The grass always suffer. Yeah. So they have invested heavily. I think they have invested heavily and built a significant relationship already. So their approach has often been characterized by providing large scales, infrastructure, quickly, and they do that quickly. And sometimes with fever conditions, they don't have, you know, those stringent conditions attached, like the Western partners. So, and that's why most African countries actually, you know, prefer China than European and or maybe American. So, and this has been attractive to many African governments. So, and this is not a simple good versus bad scenario. It's a complex interplay of economy, of economic interest. And of course, from those big guns, it's a geopolitical strategy. It's a geopolitical strategy. So for us in Namibia, this means we have a window of opportunity. I believe we have a window of opportunity. It's a chance to leverage this renewed global interest to our advantage. But we need strong leadership. That we do. We need a strong leadership, clear negotiation strategies. We need negotiation expert. Maybe we need even to hire some from countries where these are coming from, so they know how to deal with them. So we need that, strong leadership, strong, clear negotiation strategies, and commitment to, as I said earlier on, to transparency. That's very important. If you want trust from your citizenry, that commitment to transparency is very important. So we need to ensure that any deals made you know, benefit. As many cases, sometimes we see only the few that have benefited from that, but we need to see that it benefit many, and which is now what we are fighting for. That's what we want, you know, to happen. All right. So, well, what we can take away from this U.S. re-engaging with Africa is doing so with an eye firmly on China. All right. That's one thing that's very clear from what we have taken from the article. Now, this heightened attention could mean opportunity for investment for us. Could mean opportunity for trade and development as well. So, however, it's crucial for Namibia. It's crucial that Namibia and other African nations remain in the driver's seat, that we remain in the driver's seat, defining our own development path. So it shouldn't be defined by investors, you know, and by government interest, from external government interest. So we should define our own development path and ensuring that these global rivalries translate into genuine progress and prosperity for our citizens. So we should be able to do that. All right? So now the question I leave you with on this segment is, as the U.S. and China now compete for influence in Africa, for us Namibian, how can Namibia best position itself to ensure that this competition serves our our national interest and lead to sustainable development for all of our people? So that's the question I'm leaving with you. You can discuss that in your office, at a dinner table, anywhere, you know. So as this U.S. and China compete for influence in Africa, it's an golden opportunity. How can now Namibia and maybe other African countries best position themselves to ensure that this competition between these two giants, this political power, serves our national interest and lead to a sustainable development for all our people? That was Unpacking the Day. This was the then another episode of Unpacking the Day. And that's bring us right here at the end of the show this morning. I'm going to leave you in a very capable hand of Uncle Franz, of Tate Franz. And of course, you're going to be in a good hand. And as much as also as many other programs that are coming your way, make sure that you tune in for all that is coming your way this morning and this afternoon. So now I'm crossing over to Vandook, and please join Tate Franz. From me, it's a goodbye until we look at something else tomorrow. Bye for now.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa onjika seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa letu Moambo, dengira selma, onora heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari jamano tano, oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play.